Well, we have a message for you today. It's a message that is a one real long, super long message. Okay, you excited about that? That's something to get excited about. It was so long and so exciting that God divided it into two parts for me last night. So how he's going to pull this off, I have no idea. So we're going to, I split it into two different messages. And just to keep myself where I need to be at, I went ahead and left the other part in my office. All right, so I looked at it and I said, God, I want to preach it all today. He said, half of the message. So it might not make complete sense to you today, but it will next Sunday. And, you know, when you begin to listen to this message that God's given me today, I begin to think about what God tries to teach us and tell us and instruct us. Often it says in Timothy, that we are often, God's word is good for rebuke, isn't it? It's good for teaching and training into righteousness. It's good. God's word is good. Everybody say it's good. So it doesn't matter what the enemy says. The enemy don't have anything. You see, the problem we like to fall into, when the enemy's got his onslaught going with everything he's got, he still ain't got nothing, amen? Because what we begin to understand, and this is where we're going to go today, is when we begin to understand what God's trying to speak to us, he's speaking something specific. So as we begin to undergo great trials, it's okay because we win. As you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 3. Verses 1 through 13. Now, to qualify this message, I'll read the scripture to you, but I want you to know, in order to preach the message of God, sometimes what has to happen, you have to go through great trials. To go through great trials to get to the other side, that's where the increase comes, that's where wisdom comes from. It's not that we don't want to go through trials. We might not like the trials, but we will go through the trials, amen? And as we go through the trials, we can count on one thing, we will come out on the other side stronger than we was when we went into the trial. There's no difference than what we're reading here today. As we begin with the Word of God, let's really get our mind focused on what it is. The title of the sermon today is Getting Past Your Jordan. Getting Past Your Jordan. Now, immediately people begin to think about the Jordan. This morning in prayer time, one of the brothers said, oh, the dry ground. Nope, that's not it. Okay, yeah, there's some dry ground there. There's some things going on. I said, hold on to next week. Maybe that'll be next week. But the truth is this, when we begin to look at this, when we begin to look at past your Jordan, I want you to know that everybody has some Jordan in their life. When I begin to share with you about the Jordan River today, I want you to understand that Joshua had a challenge in his life. I want you to know that Moses had a challenge up in his life, and you will have a challenge up in your life. You're no different than they are. We are the same, amen? We're forgiven, and that's what we're going to talk about today. When we begin to look at this book of Joshua here, and we begin to unpack exactly what's going on in chapter 3, I've got to skip some stuff, but I want you to go back and read all of Joshua chapter 3 later today. It'll help you for the intro and the set of next week's sermon as well. So if we could, I hate to make you uncomfortable, but as reverence to the Holy Lord, amen, let's stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. As we begin in Joshua chapter 3, we're going to talk about, I'm going to read to you out of the NIV. We're going to talk to you about crossing the Jordan. And as I begin the scripture today, some people have some Jordans in their life. And I want to tell you what the Jordan is in your life. It was for them, and it's for you, and it's for I today. And there's no just so happening that you're here today. But listen to the word of God. It says, crossing the Jordan in chapter 3, verse number 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. And after 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God. Ooh, I get excited right there. What this is talking about was the presence and the power of their God, amen? What we're talking about today as we begin to unpack this, we begin to face the Jordan today, is the power and the presence of God. And the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Man, this can preach. But keep a distance. And we look at the distance of about 2,000 cubits or 3,000 feet. Keep a distance of 3,000 feet between you and the ark and do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves Be holy is what he's telling them. Be sacred, be ready. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And today, church, my church, today God is about to do some amazing things amongst us today. I'm telling you, that little old Trey was sitting in my office with me, and the spirit of a living God sat down upon me tonight, today. And I'm excited about what God's about to do with his word today. Are you excited, church? Joshua said to the priest, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and they went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, it says go, as a commandment, there's something going on, to go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that a living God is amongst you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, the Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites, and all the rest of the sites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. Then in verse 13, and as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its water, listen now, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off, and it says it will stand up in a heap. Lord, Father, as we enter into your presence today, Father, we would ask that your word will not come back void, as you have said. Father, we ask for an anointing upon your speaker today, Father, that you will allow me to decrease as you increase. Father, I ask that you open the eyes to the people that's here and the ears to hear, Father, that you, Lord God, would speak boldly and individually to each and every person here. God, we invoke your presence here today. We deal with praise and worship and with the word of God today. We come to glorify your name. God, today we have come to cross the Jordan, God. God, today we come not to play church, to be the church, God. God, no matter what the distractions of this world is, God, we pray for a presence right now that will break every yoke of bondage that's amongst us today. God, in your word, it said, what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. And Father, today, in the name of Jesus, we bind darkness from the souls that's here today. Father, we ask that we walk into light and you, Lord, be exposed to us. God, let the darkness be exposed. God, let us see the Jordan today, Father, and allow us to cross over it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there's a lot into this scripture as we begin to unpack the scripture. And I can't do it. I won't be able to do it all this morning. But listen, I got a message that is just the beginning of a message that's going to carry over for 2 weeks. Now, listen, I told you about the Jordan. I read to you about the Jordan. I told you what Joshua said. But I want to tell you some of the things that God shared with me as I read the scripture. When the Lord brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, it said he led them. It said he led them towards the promised land. Okay, listen, when God brought you out of your darkness, what you got to quit forgetting is what he brought you from, amen? I'm not telling you to go back to it, but I'm telling you, you need to begin to praise God for what he's already done. See, all of a sudden, we want to have the poor pity party, all me thing going on. All of a sudden, it's about someone saying something about me, someone talking bad about me, someone coming against me. But that's all right. We got to handle it right. Amen? Amen? Now, you know it's right. We don't always handle it the right way, nor do I. But we begin to look. It says he brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Now, Egypt here has a dual purpose, and we need to understand the dual purpose. The dual purpose was a place. It was a place of refuge. But it was also a place of oppression, okay? It was a place of oppression. So we begin to look at this. He's taken us out of a place of refuge, a place where we thought we could stay holed up, and it was okay because that's what we was created for. Listen, I'm about to preach this morning because I'm telling you, you've been holed up in the refuge camp long enough, amen? It's time for you to stand up and to take that command and begin to go on across your Jordan today. We begin to look at the place of oppression and whatever the enemies use to oppress you, to oppress your family, to oppress you wherever you are at today. It's time for us to speak to that oppression, to be gone and to be cast out as far as the east is to the west. So slavery was what he's talking about in Egypt. He took them towards the promised land. Remember the promise to Abraham and his descendants, which is us. Can you say amen? Amen. There's a promise, the land of Canaan. It was a sweet place, amen. It was a place of glory, a promised land, as it says, a place of great happiness. Now, I'm going to try to keep going here because I got some good stuff. But listen, begin to look at Egypt. We begin to look at what God did for us. He brought us out of a place of slavery. He brought us out of a place of refuge, a place of oppression. He picked us up. He set us up on dry ground, and he began to push us towards Israel. He began to push us towards Canaan. He began to push us into a sweet, great, and happy place. Amen? Okay, that was salvation for us. All of a sudden, he took us out of the desert. He put us in a good place. It took them 2 years to make that trip. 2 years to make that trip. During that time, the Lord gave them his law and taught them how to worship him. Listen, folks, there's something about how we worship the Lord. Okay, I've been beating this up for about 6 months now. We need to enter into the presence of the Lord through praise and through worship. Listen, there's a difference about praise and worship, amen. I don't even want to go there right now. Because all of a sudden, what happens is when we begin to worship a living God, things begin to happen. We cannot have the presence of a living God amongst us if we don't praise him and pray to him and we begin to worship him and his will be done. During that time, the Lord gave them this law. When they arrived at Jordan, all they had to do, see, God's brought you to some stuff today, and all they had to do was enter the land and lay claim to what they had been given, the promised land. See, God's done given you the promise. He's done showed you the way. He's done brought you out of darkness, out of oppression, recession, and depression. God has already done it, and he's already brought you from it, only for us to go back and want to go back to the enslavement of what we came from. Amen. Instead of going forward in faith, instead of going forward in faith, what happens so often, we go back and back off the Jordan and head back to Egypt. The people of Israel, listen up, first of all, Israel, may God prevail. May God prevail. There's something in the name, isn't there? May God prevail. It says they wanted, what happened is all of a sudden the people of Israel refused to claim their inheritance of Canaan. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody here this morning. You need to start claiming what God's done already promised you. And if he's already promised you, it says it will come to pass, amen. It doesn't matter what the old world got to say. What it's got to say is what God's word says is perfect and it shall be. It says they wanted to turn around and go back to Egypt, back to the very people that had enslaved them. God punished them severely for their lack of faith. He condemned them to wander around in the wilderness between Canaan and Egypt until the whole generation that refused, everybody say refused, that whole generation that refused to enter the promised land began to die off. Because of their unbelief, Israel was sentenced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. We all know that story, don't we? Yeah, those years of wrath and death have now expired, and the children of Israel are poised again to enter into Canaan. All of a sudden, something's happening. They are ready to claim their inheritance in the land of promise. Today, I want to talk to you about reclaiming your inheritance into the great place, the place of happiness, the place at the throne of a Savior by the name of Jesus Christ. We have some promises today, and we want to share those promises. Before they can enter Canaan, they must first get past. Everybody say, get past. Now, I didn't say go back to Egypt. I didn't say go back to your past. I didn't tell you that, right? So all of a sudden, what happens so often, the devil shows up, and he'll sure enough take you right back to where you came from. You know what I mean, right? All of a sudden, you think you're past it, and all of a sudden, you become your past again. All right? Everybody say, uh-oh. So we've got to get past it. Before they can enter Canaan, they must first get past one final major obstacle. And if you haven't picked up on it yet, we've talked about this. It's the Jordan River. The obstacle to your faith today is the Jordan River. Whatever the obstacle is to your great faith today is your Jordan River. Whatever it is that's keeping you from being all the way sold out, going to keep you from going all the way forward, to keep you from being in the presence of a living God, no matter whether you're at work or if you're family or wherever you're at, whatever is going to keep you from the presence of a living God is your Jordan River, amen. All of a sudden, we begin to look at it, and we see the promised Canaan land on the other side, but all of a sudden, the Jordan will come across that looks so big and so huge that we can't even cross it. Wow. The major obstacle was the Jordan River. Now listen, normally, the Jordan River, and I'm going to tell you about this, this would not have presented much of a problem, okay, since the Jordan was about 100 feet wide at Gilgal where they was about to cross. Okay, it was 100 feet wide. Not a big deal. Okay, we could throw a rope across it, make a human chain. We could get across the Gilgal, from the there at Gilgal, across the Jordan River. That's what happens to us sometimes. All of a sudden, we begin to look at the trial that we're in. We think it ain't that big a deal. But all of a sudden, we'll allow sin to creep up in our camp, into our church, into our workplace, into our family, and we allow just a little bit of sin. Everybody else is doing it. Why not? All of a sudden, we let a little bit of sin inside the camp. All of a sudden, we become just a little bit lukewarm. All of a sudden, we begin to take off the church just a little bit. And all of a sudden, we begin to have a division with each other. All of a sudden, the enemy sneaks in, just like the little 100, we begin to look at it, and 100 feet wide ain't nothing. But all of a sudden, that trial will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and it always costs you more than you ever intended to pay. Every single trial is like that, amen? But all of a sudden, when we get into that place of selfishness and self-centeredness, and we begin to focus on us and not what God has called us to, see, all of a sudden, the problems seem insurmountable. They get so big that we don't know how to even handle them because they're so big now. But all of a sudden, when we begin to look at this Jordan River, it's 100 feet wide. Everybody say 100 feet. But all of a sudden, when we wander around and we go back and forth and we keep getting enslaved by the same old stuff, what happens is all of a sudden, the Jordan River, when God said, okay, now it's time to cross. Amen. Now it's time to cross. Now it's time to quit. Now it's time to get serious. Now it's time to go ahead and do a little spiritual house cleaning. All of a sudden, that Jordan River at this time, at this season, it says this in Joshua chapter 4, verse 15. I don't have it for you. But see, listen to this. God brought them to the Jordan River at the time of harvest. Now listen, that ain't no big deal, is it? That's a huge deal. See, all of a sudden, we begin to look at this, and we begin to understand the obstacle all of a sudden seemed huge. It became huger, and all of a sudden, from 100 feet, guess what happened? The Jordan River, when God said, now it's time to quit playing around the cross, all of a sudden, it has swollen at the harvest time to 50 times larger than it was before when they should have crossed. Wow, what's that mean? It was over 50 times wider than it normally would have been, and 10 times, at least 10 to 20 times deeper than it would have been is when Israel arrived. Over 1 mile, listen to this now, over 1 mile wide and over 2 million people to cross that river. Everybody say obstacle. See, 100, when we begin to look at 100 feet and what 2 million people, that ain't nothing, man. We could put up a human block and get across that, right? But all of a sudden, when we choose to go back to Egypt, to wander in the wilderness, to do what's wrong, it always takes us farther than we intend. But listen, the definition for obstacle. I want to share this with you. Everybody says obstacle. I understand obstacle. The definition is this. It's a thing that blocks one's way or prevents or hinders progress. When we begin to look at the obstacles of your faith, when we begin to look at the obstacles of our faith, all of a sudden we begin to ask this question, what's going on? What's preventing me, hindering me, knocking me back, and keeping me from going where God's called me to, right? So all of a sudden it's easy for us to look back and begin to understand they're making poor decisions and they kept turning back to their old ways and heading the wrong way. And God says, okay, I'll just go and put you in the wilderness for 40 years. And you know that perverse generation, they're going to wipe out. Amen? Okay, well, let's keep going. Some of you on the edge of the seats like you're ready, ain't you? Okay, but listen, here's what happens. We look at this obstacle that wasn't so big, now it's big. We look at sin, don't seem to be so big, but sin is still sin. But then when we begin to hold in the sin, when we begin to allow it to grow, all of a sudden what happens? Sin gives birth to death. Sin gives birth to death. You never thought that you would ever quit church, get off the praise and worship team, quit preaching, quit teaching, quit doing whatever. But all of a sudden, when you allow a little bit of sin to sneak into the camp, what begins to happen, it gives birth to death, a spiritual death that will take you farther than you wanted to go. It will wipe you out, clean your clock. It will check you and knock you out. Amen? There was no way they could cross the river at this time now. All of a sudden, they knew that God had called them, and they knew without a shadow of a doubt that they had this great, big, honking, huge obstacle in front of them that they shouldn't have had. They allowed it to sneak into their camp because of a little bit of doubt and, oh, ye of little faith, which I'll qualify. But all of a sudden, we began to look at a promised nation, and we began to look at them being taken to the promised land. We looked at them go out to the woodshed, as we call it. We see them go out into the wilderness, but yet God still provided for them and loved them no matter what, and God still loves you, and He loves me no matter what. So no matter where we're at, God is, everybody say, He is love. God is love, and that's what we want to really articulate from the message today. There's no way they could cross the river now on their own. So God already got it to where, okay, you can go do this now. I've saved you. Go forward. Do what's right. But now they can't even do it on their own. They needed a supernatural help. They needed God to put his super on their natural. Listen, whatever your obstacle of faith is today, I want you to know that God is about to put his super on your natural. See, when all of a sudden you know that you can't, and you know you've never been able to, you know you can't, you know that you know that you know, all of a sudden God shows up, the living, breathing God that lives inside of you. All of a sudden there's a conviction, not a condemnation. All of a sudden this loving God moves inside of our situation, and he begins to strengthen us. He puts his super on our natural. It seems that God always does things in such a way that no man or woman could ever boast of having done it on their own. You know what I'm talking about here, don't you? You know exactly what I'm talking about, because the truth is this. You know how foul and how no good you was as a sinner, the chiefest of sinners standing right here. And the only thing good in me is a living God. The only thing that changed me, that transformed me, that set me free was simply believing in my heart and professing that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is now Lord of my life, and I allowed him in, and he done some house cleaning, amen? And today, he's still cleaning the house. Amen. Listen, this crossing of the Jordan River would be no exception. Jesus, our God, our Savior, our Lord, would have to put his super on their natural, amen? And it's no different today. We're going to open this altar up, and God showed me a vision of a full altar. He's about to put his super on our natural today, amen? It seems that God always does things, though, that no one can have credit for but him. Every person here faces his or her own Jordan from one time to another, or time to time. Now, when we talk about this Jordan today, each one of us face obstacles from day to day often. And what we have to do is allow the Lord to move. See, if all of a sudden the enemy showed up and the enemy begins to hijack your relationships, he begins to hijack your finances, your marriage, all of a sudden, whatever he wants to try to do, all of a sudden we need to begin to look at that 100-foot-wide Jordan, amen, instead of a 1-mile Jordan. And then even if it's 100-foot or it's 1 mile wide, the truth is that the obstacle of your faith can be removed by Christ alone. Amen. His super on our natural. We deal with obstacles that would hinder us from attaining spiritual victory in our lives. Today, we need to have some spiritual victory. We may feel that we will never be able to enter our Canaan of victory and enjoy abundant life that Jesus has promised his followers. While it is true that I do not know what kind of obstacles that you face today, I do know, amen, hallelujah, praise God, all glory to the King of Kings. I want you to know that I do know a God who specializes in overcoming the overwhelming and leading his children to victory. I'm telling you today, when you begin to look at the overwhelming. I know a God because I've met him face to face. I know a God who's brought me from my past. I know a God who has delivered me. I know a God who has set me free. I know a God, I know him personally, and no matter what your obstacle is today, your God is bigger than any obstacle that you face today or that you'll face tomorrow. Your God is bigger than any obstacle that's set before you by the enemy. Amen. 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 I'm telling you, your God is big. I know him and you do too. It may seem overwhelming, overcoming, when the enemy begins to attack. And as it's becoming overcoming and overwhelming, those obstacles surmount, and all of a sudden the river, the Jordan River, begins to get bigger. All of a sudden we look at it and we know we got to have the super placed upon our natural. All of a sudden we know what's going on today. I would like for us to watch Israel as they move past their Jordan. Remember, they got to move past the obstacle. Today, I want you to watch as we watch them move, and we're going to move with them. Amen? As we do, I would like to offer you some hope today. We need some hope. Everybody says, I want some hope. Listen, the strategies that worked for Israel over 3,000 years ago will still work for us today. I want to speak to you from Joshua chapter 3 about getting past your Jordan. It's time for us to get past our obstacle. I want to speak to you today about this because there's a strategy that God has shown me. As he showed me the strategy, I just simply want to be obedient and convey it to the flock. Amen. Listen, there are some strategies that must be implemented. And say, listen, we got to implement. Everybody hear me? It's not okay just to hear it and go out the same way. We've got to take it, listen to it, write it down, put it in our spirit, begin to pray, begin to fast, begin to share, begin to read the Word of God and become the Word of God. All of a sudden, we've got to allow things to happen. It's got to be implemented. If we're going to move past the Jordan, that stands between spiritual victory and us. I want to ask you this today. I don't want no hands. I want to know in here today who needs a true spiritual victory. When you begin to look at this, what does a true spiritual victory look like? Listen, it's yourself. Sometimes it gets in the way, man. We are so full of us, we can't stand it. The world we live in today tells us you do what you want, when you want, how you want. Who cares what the church says? Who cares what the government says? Who cares what anybody says? Just do whatever feels good. Listen, the church needs a spiritual victory today, man. I'm telling you, we need a spiritual victory today. And it was said earlier today in prayer time is something. Everybody's heard about that in my church. You know why? Because it ain't about us. Amen. It's all about inviting the presence and invoking the presence of a living God. And when we begin, I'm telling you, when we begin to invoke the presence of a living God, you can't shut him down and shut him up and shut him out and put him in a box. He's like a light on a hill. He's got to come out. And what we got to do is begin to invoke the presence of a living God in everything that we do. Amen? In everything that we do. But we look at this and we begin to understand these strategies. We need some spiritual victory. Allow me to share those strategies with you this morning. Now, I told you I split this, so it might not make complete sense to you till next week. Now you have to be here, right? Yeah, I'm sorry if you're thinking about taking off. Now we'll see you next week. But I want to jump back to verses 3 and 4 and pick apart just a little bit. But there is a message to consider. There's a message to consider here. In verse 3 and 4, let me reread them with you. When you seek the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carry it, you are to move out from your positions and follow. Everybody say follow. Follow. You're to move out from your positions and begin to follow it. Man, I want to preach right here because all of a sudden we want to stay rooted in how much theology we have, how much knowledge we have, how smart we are. We don't want to move out when the Lord begins to lead us. All of a sudden we want to do it by flesh. And not by spirits. Amen. Okay, I know some of you getting mad at me. That's okay. Verse 4 says, then you will know. Then you will know. Okay, then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits, 3,000 feet, between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Man, all of a sudden I begin to say, man, that ark's holy, it's power and the presence. Why in the world? I want to go up and hug on it. Amen? And you get to hugging on it too much, you die. Yeah. Okay, let me keep going here. The first point that I want to make out of there is a message to consider. Listen to this. The first part, a message involved a challenge. And my question for you today, is anybody here up for a challenge? Because here's what's going to happen. I'm going to challenge you before I say the first word today of this challenge is I'm going to challenge you to the altar of repentance. I don't care how old, how young, how holy, how unholy, how sinful. The Bible says that we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of a living God. So I'm telling you that an altar of repentance has significance. And when we begin to cross the Jordan, when we begin to remove the obstacle, we'll do it the best at the foot of the cross. We'll do it the best as we begin to understand there's a challenge. Everybody say challenge. When it came time for the people to move forward, to cross the Jordan, to cross over, to get rid of the obstacle, God has a message that they needed to hear. Not that they wanted to hear, they needed to hear, just like we need to hear today. In the words they heard, they were challenged to do three very important things. These things were designed to help them follow the Lord better. Okay, these are the same things that we need to hear this morning that will help us follow the Lord better. Okay, the first one that we hear in this scripture is what? Watch God. That's what it says, right? Watch God. You just go ahead and start watching God in your circumstances and see what happens. You go ahead and start watching God when you surrender and you allow him to take over the obstacles of your faith. Watch God. Notice that the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned 7 times in chapter 3. The Ark of the Covenant is mentioned 7 times. There's significance here. The Ark, you may remember, was a very special piece of tabernacle furniture that symbolized the presence and the power of God. To Israel, it represented God's presence in the midst of his people. And in other words, let me share this with you. They're going to put this on the board because I don't want to miss this. In other words, As you look at this, when God moved, you didn't go. Is that what it says? Oh, I got it wrong, right? And so do we. See, when God begins to move, you better get up and get moving. When God stops, you better get down and stop. Amen. When God begins to do something, we need to be on His plan and His time and His cup of tea when He wants to drink tea. Amen. It's not about what we want. It's about what He wants. Amen. Listen, I don't want this message to be taken as a message of chastisement. That is not at all what I'm trying to preach to you. What I'm trying to preach to you is about a loving God that wants you to cross over your obstacles of faith. Amen? So don't get mad at me. Get mad at yourself. You didn't like that part either, did you? All right? In other words, when God moved, they were moved. They were to move. When God stopped, they were to stop. There is a valuable spiritual lesson in this passage for me and you. We would do well when we face times of crisis, when we need direction in the life to, in our life, to learn to be sensitive to the movement of the Holy Spirit. There'll be times when He's beginning to tell us to start something, stop something, and do things better. But all of a sudden, we begin to wonder what's going on. When we face those crises, when we need direction in our life, to learn to be sensitive to the movement of the Lord in and around us, we need the presence and the power of a living God. We need to allow God to move. Secondly, the second point here, listen now. The first one, watch God. The second one, it says here in the Scriptures, follow God. So now we're watching God. We're seeing what God can do. And all of a sudden, when we watch, we begin to what? Follow. All of a sudden, there's a following. When they saw the Ark of the Covenant move, they were to leave your place and go after it. All of a sudden, when God grabbed a hold of you, when He saved you, redeemed you, sanctified you, set you free, and all of a sudden, we begin to wonder, what are we supposed to do? How do we become complacent and divided? How do we come to a place where the presence of God is not where it should be? But it says, all of a sudden, we are to follow. We're to chase after. We're to give chase to. We're to go where God wants us to go. We're to follow God. Not only were they to watch God, they were to move when He did. They were to pursue God. They were to pursue God. Again, the lesson for the believer is that it isn't enough to know, amen. It's not enough to know, to just know God or know the Word, what God, and to know what God is doing. There comes a time when you must leave your place and begin to go after Him. Now, you guys know these places, right? You left the bars, you left the streets, you left some of your family, you left the things that drug you down, that spun you around, that tore you up. You know what I'm talking about. We left some darkness, and we begin to walk in light. This may require us to leave our comfort zone. All right, so what happens sometimes, you can look at it this way. You need to leave your comfort zone. God, I really can't do that. Listen, I told you, right here stands the shepherd of the flock, and I told God I made a deal with Him. I'll give my life to you. Don't you ever ask me to preach. Amen? But all of a sudden, I left my comfort zone, and He started taking me through stages of my life and teaching me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He put it inside of me. I said, well, let's put it inside of me like a fire. Shut up in my bones, God. I got to talk about You. See, all of a sudden, we got to get out of our comfort zone, out of our boat to walk on the water. You know what I'm talking about. We begin to understand and begin to look at this. And all of a sudden, we begin to understand Israel was about to follow the ark through a river that was over 1 mile wide. That couldn't have been very easy, and it was still necessary that they do that. Following God may not be the easiest thing that you've ever done. Okay, I want to be honest with you. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. A lot of people think, well, the pastor don't have no problems. Man, he's got it made. He's holy. No, I'm not. I'm just like you. Okay, I'm saved by grace just exactly like you, and I call upon His mercy every single day. Listen, that's what we battle. We battle an enemy that's alive, and the closer you are to Christ, the more the enemy will attack you. And all of a sudden, you begin to wonder, why is your brother or sister coming against you? Why is your family coming against you? Why is the job coming against you? Why is your finances going haywire? And you say, God, I serve You. And God says, I know, I got you. And remember last week, we talked about Job. We talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We talked about Paul, and we talked about Silas. We talked about in the darkest, in the midnight hour, no matter what you're going through, God will bring you through it. And we got to begin to believe no matter what we go through, He's bringing us through it for a reason. That trial won't kill us. It'll only make us stronger. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to embrace the trial. Everybody say embrace it. That couldn't have been very easy, but it's still necessary. Following God may not be the easiest thing, but we still need to do it. If you ever expect to get past the obstacles in your life to enter your Canaan today, you must learn to follow and to chase after and to pursue a living God. Amen. You must learn that no matter what the world says, what everybody else's standard says, that you'll set up yourself for success as you begin to pursue God. And I'm going to tell you something. It will cost you everything. Uh-oh. To truly pursue God will cost you absolutely everything. It'll cost you everything, and all of a sudden what happens is, and we talk about this, as we learn to follow God, we are watching God, we're following God, we're pursuing God, and all of a sudden it begins to cost us something. It begins to cost us some riff in our lives and our relationships. People say stuff, and all of a sudden stuff starts to happen. You see the enemy show up, and we're going to go forward, or we're going to go backwards. We're going to go to the Jordan, or we're going to back off the Jordan. Guess what will show up again later? The Jordan. No matter if you're in the wilderness for 4 days, 4 hours, or 40 years, the Jordan will still be there when you get back to it. The obstacle of your faith will still be there. And if the enemy can deceive you and lie to you and keep you going backwards, and as he punches you, he keeps you on your heels, and you can't go to your knees at the altar of repentance, if you can't do it, he continues to win. But listen, stronger is he that is in you than he that is in this old rotten world. Amen. Listen, we got this thing. We're Christians, amen. We are saved and set free by the word of God. Listen, so we begin to watch God, follow God. Thirdly, we dishonor God. Is that what it says, dishonor God? Is that what it says? Oh, it says honor. What are we doing that dishonors God? Are we truly invoking his presence? Before we come into praise and worship or come to church, listen, is it like somebody beating you to death to get you to come to church? Stay home, right? Some people did, right? But here's the thing, man. If you got a man, you should have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You should want to assemble with your fellow believers. Listen, we've been in the world all week, and we know what the world's got to offer, don't we? We know, because we've been beat up by them. But all of a sudden, we begin to know that when we come together, when we begin to lift each other up, when we begin to praise and to pray. Listen, this is not a Sunday thing. This is a daily, hourly, mentally, secondly thing. We need to praise a living God. We need to honor him. So everybody say honor.
Honor.
Honor God. Notice that the Israelites are told to stay at least 3,000 feet behind the ark. Now, when I began to look at this some time ago, and I studied this, I studied doing a tabernacle study, which took me 2.5 years. As I began to look at this, I began to wonder, why 3,000 feet? Why so far away? What in the world is this really all about? And all of a sudden, I never even understood this. God didn't give it to me until last week. Then I look back at some of you probably better at this than I am. But all of a sudden, I was like, my God, that's how I got myself in trouble every single time. I'm trying to honor God, and I'm getting hijacked at times. You know why? I like to say what I want to say. I like to power up instead of power down. I'll tell you what it is, and I don't care if you like it or not. It's what it is. It is what it is. Get over it. That's how we are. That's not very honoring to God. That's really not very honoring to God. If I'm going to watch God and I'm going to follow God, the third key ingredient is to honor God. And we'll honor God with all of us. We'll honor God all the time, not on Sunday. We won't honor God in just church, but in our families. We'll honor God in everything we say and everything we do. Honor God. Everybody say honor.
Honor.
Notice that the Israelites are told to stay back 3,000 feet from the Ark of the Covenant. This was so that they could easily, listen to this. This is what God gave me revelation. So they could easily see. I'm trying to think, well, I mean, why can't you be up there? And we have all the examples about touching the Ark and then unclean and you die. Well, it says that we're all sinners in need of grace. This was so they could easily see what was happening ahead of them. Man, if we don't have the presence and the power of a living God ahead of us, we will get hijacked and shipwrecked every single time. We need to have the presence and the power of God in our lives and in our relationships and in our church. Another reason is that the Lord wanted no one but the Levites near the ark. To get too close would have meant death for them. There's a lesson here for us as well. As we begin to look at this lesson, there's a lesson for us as well about staying back from the Ark of the Covenant. Listen, let me share it with you. We must never be guilty of treating God like he is one of our buddies. God is not your buddy, amen? I get tired of everybody saying, that's my papa. I've heard, I'm sorry, I know I'm going to make some of you mad, but I'm going to say it anyway. I feel led by the Spirit. I get tired of people saying, oh, that's my papa. He's not your papa. I'm going to give you scripture if you want, all right? But listen, he's not your buddy. He's not your friend. Listen to me. He is holy. He is holy. When we begin to quit punking him, when we begin to give him all authority, when we begin to bow at him, all of a sudden we begin to understand he's not our buddy, but he's our holy Lord. Amen? See, today the world wants to say, hey, that's my buddy. Do what you want. Say what you want. Act any way you want. Repentance is just something you do. Listen, repentance means to turn away 180, not 360 degrees. It tells us to change, to stop, to quit. I'm sorry if I offended you. Get over it. There must always be a holy reverence and a fear of the Lord in our hearts. Never open our mouth and dishonor God with our mouth. It says to be still and know that I am Lord. Be still and know that I am Lord. Don't give them what they deserve. Give them what they really deserve, which is the Lord and his word. I don't mean to offend anybody, but this is like fire shut up in my bones. Listen, we've got to come to a place where we have a holy reverence for a living God, not a dead God, a living God. To get too close would have meant death for them, and we know that. There must have always be a holy reverence for him and a healthy fear for the Lord. We are still nothing but sinners saved by his marvelous grace. And we're all just sinners in need of his grace. Man, when we can wrap our arms around this. Simply put, as simple as I can make it, for me, these three things are most easily accomplished by learning to walk in the Spirit. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, we need to watch, follow, and honor God with everything we say and everything we do at all times. It's not about coming into church and getting your nap in. It's not about being lullabied to sleep by the enemy. It's not about skipping Wednesday night Bible study because it says iron sharpens iron. It's not about helping out with the youth. It's not about skipping the meals and feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and going to the incarcerated. I can go on everywhere through it. God's word has commanded us, and he wants to unleash something inside of you. If we'll simply honor God with who we are, all of a sudden God will begin to do something with us. But first, we got to watch and follow in order to honor. Oh, I want what I want, Lord. Lord, I want to do it my way. God, you know it's my vacation, my time for a break, my time, me. Listen, take I and me out of your prayer time, see what happens. Amen. Listen, don't take this message wrong. Don't take it wrong. Take it for what God's saying to you, not what I'm giving you here. Use the word. Learning to give control of your life to the Spirit of God and to follow God, I can promise you that if you will follow him, I'll guarantee you, he will certainly lead you. So I tell you all of that is to tell you this. If you want to honor God, quit following your agenda, your schedule, and your calendar, and begin to pursue God. And see, I was talking to a gentleman this week. He's a very busy businessman. And when he began to tell me this, he said, look, if you'll just pursue the presence of a living God, he said, you can take that old calendar and throw it away. Because God will ordain every schedule that you ever needed and ever wanted. All of a sudden, he says, you're blessed. You're blessed, and it says so in the word, coming and going. Doesn't matter. When you begin to allow a living God, everybody say living God, follow him and he'll lead. All right, let's jump down to verse 5. Everybody still all right with me so far? You see why I cut this message in half, right? Joshua told the people to purify or to consecrate themselves, for tomorrow the Lord will be doing amazing things among you. Today, the Lord's about to do some amazing things among you. The second point, the message involved not only a challenge, but then a command. Everybody said, uh-oh, a command. Next, the people were told to sanctify themselves. This referred to being sure that they were as clean and holy as possible. They were to put away anything that was displeasing to the Lord. Listen to me as I read from this. They were to examine themselves and get ready for the Lord to do something great for them. Are we ready for the Lord to do something great for us? Are you ready to consecrate yourself? Are you ready to purify yourself? Are you ready to be holy because he was holy? Are you ready to face the Jordan in your life today? Are you ready to cross the obstacle off your list? Are you ready to go forward and not backwards no more? Are you ready to go forward today? Hallelujah, I'm ready. Listen, if you and I ever expect to get past our Jordan, the obstacle that arises in our lives, we're going to have to learn that one of the first things we must do, as it says, examine yourself. Quit worrying about your neighbor, your spouse, your friends, your coworkers. Begin to examine yourself. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Examine our lives to make sure that they are clean as they possibly can be. Approaching God with a pure heart, like the Israelites, we need God's forgiveness before we approach Him. Amen. Don't think that you can start talking to God when you got sin up in your grill. Amen. He ain't got no part of your sin. Can you say amen? All right. Well, let me read some more. I'm working towards a closing here. In verses 9 through 13, and we'll revisit these next week also. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know. Listen, we got to know. It's through the word that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Ammonites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant, when we begin to look here, when we look at the Ark of the Covenant, it's this power and presence of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan. It'll go into the obstacle that's set before you. It will go ahead of you. Amen. All of a sudden, God gets ahead of your obstacle. He begins to remove obstacles that's in your life. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, okay, the Lord of your life, the creator of you, all right, set foot in the Jordan. Its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. God will stand up and cut off any obstacle that's in before you. When you begin to come into the place where you honor God, when you begin to examine yourself, when you begin to repent of who you are, when you begin to invoke the Spirit of a living God, all of a sudden God will cut off obstacles. He'll throw them out of your way. He'll remove stuff that he has to put his super up on our natural, amen. And all of a sudden God will show up. And he begins to show out. Amen. See, all of a sudden, God will stand up and cut them obstacles off. Now, the third part, the message involved not only a challenge and a command, but here's the part that we might not like. It's called commitment. Amen. We got to be committed. That's what it's all about. See, the problem is sometimes we lack commitment. All of a sudden, we lack commitment in our relationships, so we jump around and sleep with everybody else. We lack commitment into Christ, and I can go on and on. Listen, commitment is something big, amen? I'm committed, and you're committed. Listen, the message to the Israelites reminded them of getting across the Jordan did not rest on their shoulders, but it rested on the Lord's shoulders. See, it don't matter whatever your obstacle is. I'm committed to God, and I know if God's before me and he's going to lead me, who in this world going to mess with me anyway, amen? I know I might be going through some trial today. I might be going through some sickness today, but my God's word says by Jesus Christ, 39 stripes, I can claim the healing, amen? Yeah, I'm telling you, we got some promises, and then all of a sudden we begin to look at this. The trial was not ours. It was his plan to get them over, and it was his problem to make it happen. See, I'm telling you, it was his plan. I'm telling you, you're working up inside of his plan today. See, you're inside of his plan. Whatever that Jordan River is in your life today, it don't matter what the enemy says. You're right in the will of God, amen. It don't matter. The devil should have checked you out while he had a chance. He should have killed you while he had a chance. He should have sent you to hell while he had a chance. But stronger is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And it doesn't matter what the world says. God has the final answer. Yes, in these verses, he makes them a promise and tells them he will bring them through in a powerful fashion. Now, God here commits himself to bringing his people across the Jordan. All that was required of Israel was that they trust God. All that's required of you, God's children, and me, is that we trust God. As we begin to trust God, he begins to do what he wants to do. May I remind you that God has not changed today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'm telling you, he's still the same. If God could be trusted in those days to keep his promises, he can still be trusted today. No matter what the enemies come up against us with, often we are unable to get past the obstacles in our lives because we live a life that exhibits a deep, dark lack of faith in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, all of a sudden, we think he can't do it. And we go back into the wilderness, and we begin to allow the Jordan to get bigger. And all of a sudden, we're so far out there again, we wonder how we got there and how we're going to ever get back. And guess who shows up again? The Lord, your God, that loves you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for not quitting on us. How do I know? How do I know that in the promises of God that he's got my back? How do I know? Because of the worry and doubt that marks the lives of people of God today. That's how we know that all of a sudden we go back to the wilderness. We go back and we can't get crossed our obstacle of our faith. How do I know that? Well, I'll tell you how. We worry over tomorrow. We worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Yet the Lord has said in Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So quit worrying, amen. We worry over material things. Yet the Lord has promised in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all my needs. According to the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus, we worry about facing various things in life. Yet the Lord has promised us in Hebrews 13:5, never ever will I leave you, never ever will I forsake you. See, all of a sudden we begin to worry about things that just don't matter. And in closing, the bottom line is this: Jesus is all powerful. It's not about our schedule and how powerful we are. It's not about our finances or the next deal. And what happens, the enemy uses that. All of a sudden, I seen on Facebook this morning, it had a set of handcuffs linked up to a cell phone. And it said, God, please set us free. Listen, we need to be set free from the social media that's got us weighed down today, amen? Yeah, some of us don't want to hear that. I know. I'm one of them. Hallelujah. But listen, Jesus is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. Amen. It says that he is all-present. It says he knows what you're going through. He knows everything there is to know about it. And he even knows more about it than you do. Amen. You say, God's up in my business. He knows where you've been at. He knows where you're going, and he knows where he's going to take you to. What he wants you to do is begin to praise his holy name and begin to give out a praise offering of worship to him. And when all of a sudden, when he begins to move, he'll do what he wants to do in your life. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. It matters what God says. And all the way through his word, he's promised us love. He's promised that we're victorious in the end. He said all the way down to death. Death is the last enemy to be defeated. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Here's what he says to you. Here's what he says to you. The just shall live by faith. Oh, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I ain't no sinner. But God can't do it though. Oh, sinner. You know what? This is my trial. Ain't God's? Oh, sinner. Oh, I don't think God could get me through this one. Oh, sinner. See, we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of a risen God. Amen? Listen, when we begin to punk God, all of a sudden what happens is that we begin to say that Calvary, that he died on a cross, and it was completely meaningless. I'm telling you that when he died on that old rugged cross at Calvary, he did it for every sin that we committed and we will commit. When we begin to repent and call on the name of a living God, what he does is he works from the inside out. All of a sudden he moves in, he sets up residence, and no matter when we think he's not there, he says, I'm an omnipresent God. I got you from the beginning to end, from the time you're born to the time you leave this earth, and all into eternity, he said, you will be with me. Amen. See, all of a sudden, here's what he says to you. The just shall live by faith. And then he gives us a little warning in Matthew 8:26. Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Little bitty faithers. That's what we can become because the enemy is a liar. Amen. The Jordan is a liar. An obstacle is a liar. What we begin to do is begin to speak to the Jordan, begin to speak to that mile-wide river, begin to speak to the whatever the trial is before you today, and you call on the name of our Lord and Jesus Christ, and he'll begin to move the obstacle no matter how small or insignificant you think it is. As the praise and worship team makes their way back up, all this reminds us that he is the Lord, that he is greater than any problem that we have ever or will ever face in this life. He is greater than any. That is the message that I want you to take to heart today. It says that all this reminds us that he is the Lord, that he is greater than any problem that you have or ever will face today. Because the Israelites made a difficult and hazardous journey from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land, the Jordan can refer to freedom. The Jordan refers to freedom. The actual crossing is the final step of the journey, which is then complete. See, all of a sudden, freedom from your obstacles is what we're talking about. Whatever your Jordan is today, I want you to come to the altar as you stand over the house and get your freedom today. Listen, honestly, I don't know what will hold you back, or if anything will. There should nothing keep you from the altar of repentance today. Whatever it is today, Lord, forgive us. We need to repent. God, complete us with freedom today. The New Testament speaks several times about Jesus crossing the Jordan. It talks about many times about the obstacles that our Savior Jesus Christ faced during his ministry, and to believers crossing the Jordan to come hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. Why in the world wouldn't they be obstacles to that? But yet he still healed them, and he still touched them, and he still took it all the way to the cross. When his enemies sought to capture him, Jesus took refuge in Jordan, in the place John had first baptized him. And today we've got to come back to the altar of repentance, the day that you got saved. No matter what it is, God, forgive me because I have not done what you have called me to completely do. Whatever the obstacle to your faith is today, and we all have them, let's find out how God can allow us to go forward. Listen, what has God brought you from? Look back and know the power and the presence of God is what did it. He brought you from it. Like, listen, Jacob was 90 when God changed his name to Israel. May God prevail. Name change is a token and a blessing. And I guess what? Today, God wants to call you by a new name. It's called forgiven. Whatever your obstacle is today, we got to begin to release them. Israel out of Egypt. When Israel came out of Egypt, you guys are going to start the music. When Israel came out of Egypt, he led them. Today, he wants to lead you. He wants to lead you to the promised land. And the promised land is your Canaan. It's whatever you've come from. He's going to take you from it and to it. The altar's open. You come as you see fit.